Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment.
All right, this is the MGB review of MCW's tribute show to Bruiser, which was hashtag Bruiser Strong. I say this isn't real. This is a really tough one to do, Mason. I watched this. I saw it the day before it came on air, and I knew straight away. I was like, I have to watch this. I knew that Bruiser had leukemia. I was under the impression that he was starting to recover from it. That was my impression. So when I actually heard he died a few days earlier, I was kind of a little bit in shock to it. Now, I think for context, we should say how much we actually know about Bruiser, because we've only been to MCW a few times. Well, perhaps you should start. What do you remember about Bruiser, first of all?
I just remember I saw him on my birthday show, and he was a fan favorite.
Yeah, he was the main event as far as I can remember. He was facing Greg Excellent, and we knew he'd been multi-time MCW champion because they'd announced that. And yeah, you could see that the fans kind of loved him. Well, I'm glad I asked you that way first, because I'd actually forgotten something about Bruiser. We actually saw Bruiser twice. He was actually in the cage match versus, I was going to say Freddie Mercury, Joey Mercury. I did not remember that was Bruiser
but
at all.
But we do have his autograph, right? I thought we did.
I don't think so.
No, we got it.
We had Greg Excellent, but no, I don't remember him being... I don't remember Bruiser actually being out there. So we saw him a couple of times, but then kind of after that, it was pretty close to when he actually caught leukemia. And then he was... Yeah, he was out of wrestling, pretty much like Roman Reigns was.
He caught it? Or had it?
Sorry, he was diagnosed as having leukemia.
Do you have it your whole life, or do you get it?
No, that's why I probably didn't use the correct words, but yes, he has started to get leukemia. So yeah, so we'd not seen him many times, but then we couldn't physically see him afterwards because he wasn't wrestling anymore. But like I said, MCW is a local organization, and I thought for that reason it was something that we should do. Now, when I started watching this, I also had no idea how long this was going to be. I assumed this was just going to be about an hour. I knew that they'd said there was going to be some sort of a match, so I was like, oh, okay, well, that's fine. I assumed there was going to be tributes, and there certainly was a lot of those. Now, I actually watched the whole thing, and I was starting to make notes of times, and actually, it went on for 3 hours in the end.
Yeah.
I watched all 3 hours, but I was writing down times for you, and I'm kind of glad I did, actually, so you could focus on some of the matches. But there was other parts I said, hey, you should watch this part. So right at the start, there were a few tributes. Do you have anything before match one, then?
No.
All right, well, one other thing. Normally we'd do our three matches for this. There was only four matches for this anyway, so I told you should probably watch all four matches. Was there five?
I have notes for five.
Oh, okay. But there was also, like, highlights of other videos interspersed in there as well. So some of the ones where I said watch the tributes at the start, there was a big name. Like, the first person was Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Jericho, like I said, he never wrestled Bruiser, but he knew his story. And I think it also said at the start, just be aware, when these were recorded, Bruiser was still alive. And this was going to be like a living tribute show to him, as far as I can tell.
And this was all approved by Bruiser, they said.
Yes. So he was expected to kind of, I think, be there for that actual physical event. But I guess he took a down... Well, that was my interpretation of it anyway. So Jericho was on there. What a class act for him to do that. Steve Corino, I thought, was really funny on there. He said, they kept us apart because they wanted to keep you out of big matches. That's clearly not true. But I thought it was a good sense of humor he had there. And Adam Cole
Matt
as well.
Matt Hardy,
I have a list of pretty much, to begin with, I started writing down a few people and what they said, and I didn't realize, like I said, it was going to go on for so long. So after a while, I just started writing down names. And also, there was a lot of people from the MCW roster who we don't know, because we've only been a few times.
Uh-huh.
So sometimes I was following the chat, and I heard some people say, oh, look, it's such and such, and then I was writing that name down. So I might have got some of the names that were wrong for this one. There was also an old match from 1997, so I was going to ask you, did you see the quality of the video? But I guess probably...
It was bad.
It was like that breaking up one. The one from 1999, that was why that was so cool, how they actually made that look like it was a really old video.
Yeah.
But yeah, some of the old videos were... I actually liked really. I really enjoyed watching.
There was the one other one, but I can't remember his name. Carl Anderson's partner.
I'll get there. I have all those. Don't worry about it. All right, match one. Ken Dixon versus Joe Keyes versus Leah Rush. Now, I actually seen Ken Dixon and Joe Keyes fairly recently. They've been down in Action Wrestling, which I think is Atlanta, Georgia. So I'd seen them fairly recently. All right, what you got for this one then, Mason?
Ring of Honor, when are you going to pick up Leah Rush?
I can answer that one in a second.
That would be a perfect signing.
Why do you think that?
Because he has great talent and people recognize him as WWE, and that would bring in, like, that would get you merch money.
Uh-huh.
Because it's Leah Rush and people affiliate him as a big star now since he was in WWE.
All right, actually, let me cut to what I have for afterwards then. I honestly thought Leah Rush had retired. There was talk when he had his GCW match that was basically it for him. He was on MLW this week. So he's obviously signed with MLW, and they were kind of talking to him, and it sounds like he wants his first match to be for the middleweight championship versus Myron Reed. And I was like, oh, yes, definitely. Leo Rush is, as you saw in this match, Leo Rush is really good. I used to watch him a lot with Jackson when we used to watch 205 Live, and he was phenomenal on there. So, I would agree. I would think Ring of Honor would have been a good fit as well, but it looks like he signed with MLW. So
yeah,
I'm just pleased he's not retired.
The thing is that helps him get that better stuff is he can keep his name Leo Rush,
mm-hmm.
and he can keep his Man of the Hour.
Right, I'm wondering if that's because that's his real name.
Yeah.
I think that's why he gets to keep it. Yeah, because otherwise they'll make you change your name. I don't think you realize this one. Anthony Green, now he's on NXT. His name is August Gray. I was like, oh my gosh, that's a terrible name. Same initials, and I think they just picked a different color except for green, and they went with gray.
Because they wanted to keep August. The AG.
I don't know, possibly. His Twitter handle, I don't think he's Retro AG anymore. I think that's changed.
Oh,
I think
they should have just done Antonio or something better.
I hated that name. August sounds
like a girl's name.
I was just about to say the same thing. I know that there's some of our relatives, they had a neighbor whose name was August, and I've had students at school called August, and they've all been girls. So I don't like that name at all, but anyway. All right, tell us about the match.
So Leo got tripped, but it looked like he hit his face head first, but he might just be that good that he can sell it like that.
Yeah, could be.
Joe's pin and said, Leo breaks up Joe's pin and says, not on my watch, which might be a little pun. I don't know if he did that on purpose. And Ken sets up Joe for the Moonlight Hour, but Leo doesn't want to do it. Another watch pun. Because he doesn't know what Ken will do to him. And Leo won with a frog splash off the top.
He did. I love this match. I thought it was really good. Leo was, I'm going to say, he's clearly the smallest of all three of them. But he makes up for it in terms of action, that's for sure. And you know Ken Dixon's hard hitting as well. And I would say Joe's probably somewhere in the middle between those two.
This was for a belt.
This was. This was for the, is it the Rage Championship, I think it's called?
So now Leo has the belt. So yeah. He has to fight again.
And that's what I've got down it. So I put in question marks. He's the new MCW champion. I don't know when he's going to be defending that championship, though, because right now there's no wrestling going on in Maryland at all, like quite a few of the states. So I do wonder, he might be holding that title for a while because he might not have to defend it for a while. There's no wrestling in Maryland.
Oh.
There hasn't been since the start of COVID.
How do they do that?
What do you mean, how did they? Oh, now that's a good question, actually.
I wonder if they filmed it outside.
No, because it's inside the MCW arena.
Oh.
You can see that. Now, I wondered if they did it without actually having any guests there. And then I was like, oh, that's how they get around it. Now, I know that doesn't work for all of them, though, because for EWA Maryland, they were not allowed to film and then put it on Facebook Live. And I think that's probably the distinction. These people, it was pre-recorded without fans. Therefore, they can put it out at a later date. I think that's the difference, but I'm not sure. That was something I wondered about.
So, I forgot what it's called.
EWA?
Yeah, EWA can do it outside of U.S. waters, like they posted.
They said they were going to do it I don't know if they meant they were doing it on a boat, or I don't quite know. I haven't seen that one released, so I'm not quite sure for that. Now, as there's no wrestling in Maryland, like I say, I wonder how long he's going to keep his title. I also saw this week, Walter has been the NXT UK champion for 600 days, which initially I was like,
wow. Whoa,
that's a long time. And then I was like, oh, we've been on COVID for like 8 months. So that's kind of a big chunk. That's like 250. So he was probably nearly a year anyway, but you add in those extra. Who knows when he's going to be defending that as well.
Oh, are they done?
I think they started up again, but I think they might have to close again because there's all these restrictions in England again right now. In fact, they just announced, they had some 3 weeks ago, and then last week they just announced some new ones where they've changed the, there's like three levels. One where you can't go out at all, one where you can like go for a meal, and then there's one where you can go for a drink and a meal if you want to. Not, to me, that doesn't make any difference because just because you have a drink with your meal, COVID's not suddenly like, oh, you don't have a drink with your meal? All right, COVID. When COVID says we're not going to touch. To me, it doesn't make a lot of sense, but I know there is different rules there as well.
Won't the vaccine be out on the 15th?
Supposedly for the first few people.
But only the president's going to get it.
It will be a limited
class.
It'll be a limited number to begin with, that's for sure. When everybody gets it, who knows? That could be a while.
Could be like March till everybody gets it.
Could be longer than that. We don't really know at this point.
Then it would be a full year in quarantine if it gets to March 13th.
Could be. Now, actually, they said that was Leo's last match. Leo's last match was 3 years ago. And he actually faced his mentor, Bruiser, in that match. And he made sure he paid tribute to him. Basically, everyone, obviously, it was Bruiser's tribute. Basically, everybody had such positive things to say about Bruiser or the real person himself, RJ Meyer, I think that's his last name. I didn't know his real name. I only knew him as Bruiser. Oh. So
I was confused why they put RJ Myers. Cause...
That was his real name. Now, after this match, I clicked on the video. I think I was trying to change the sound or something. And it said, oh, I was trying to look at the time so I could write it down for you. And it said 25 minutes in. But it also told you, like a video, how long was left. And it said 7.5 hours. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, this cannot be 8 hours. And it wasn't, but I was panicking for a little bit. I'm not quite sure how that happened. After that, they had, and I don't know if you, did you catch any of the matches in between this and match two? Like any of the little highlights?
The next match I got is Rayo and Hades.
All right, so I have for this one, there was a dog collar match with Corporal Punishment. It looked like it was inside a tent. It was the longest dog collar I've ever seen. The chain must have been, I don't know, 18 feet, something like that. It was huge. They could walk around the room, because normally you're kind of close together. They were, it seemed like they were a long, long way apart from each other. But they had to walk around. It was great. The ref took a huge bump through a table in this one. I kind of felt sorry for him. They also had an I Quit match with the Corporal Punishment as well. Some huge chair shots in that. Like now, you don't see chair shots to the head or anything. Unprotected chair shots. Oh my gosh, watching this, you could tell it was 20-something years ago. Apparently there was one on WWE this week, by accident. I think Matt said Jey Uso got, I can't remember who it was against, but hit somebody in the head. I was like, oh gosh. But it looked really strange from my perspective. Then they continued with the tributes. Matt Hardy that you mentioned, the Ghetto Mafia, Greg Excellent, did not recognize him again until they put the clip on him in the ring and he had like the knife and fork on his pants. And I was like, oh, that's Greg. Did not recognize Greg Excellent again. He's just lost so much weight since we originally saw him there. Two Swipe, Brandon Scott, of course, we recognize. Brent Tarring, Doc Gallows was who you were talking about earlier as well. Johnny Crabcakes, and I think we can finally confirm as well, it is Ryo. So it's not Rayo. Everybody says Ryo. And I actually went back to listen to an old Nova Pro, and they said Ryo as well. So even though it's R-A-Y-O, it is Ryo. So I made a point of mentioning that down.
I wonder where they got
Rayo from. Well, that's what it looks like. If you looked at R-A-Y-O, when I asked how you guess, it's like Mayo, but it's got an R instead of an M. So it looks like Ray. If you see the word Ray with an O on the end, I'm assuming it's Rayo.
Yeah.
But it is actually Ryo. The clips with Ryo and Bruiser, I didn't know they were a tag team. They were hilarious. Everybody in chat was commenting about how funny those segments were. They were really good to watch. There was about 20 minutes, 20 plus minutes of people praising Bruiser at this point. They then went to match two, which was Ryo versus Hades. So, go ahead, Mason.
Oh, something that surprised me. I watched it later than you. I think it might have been 3 days later than the live.
Something like that. Uh-huh.
How many views do you think it had by that time?
Oh.
3 days later.
I don't know. I think when I was watching it, there was like... There's different places you can watch it, though, as well. You watched it on YouTube, right?
Yeah.
I watched it on YouTube as well. You could also watch it on Twitch. And I didn't watch it on YouTube. I watched it on Facebook Live. When I was watching on Facebook Live, I noticed at one point there was like about 500 people watching, which I thought was a lot. We've seen ones where it's been like 40, 50, so there was a lot. I have no idea. How many?
5,600.
Woof! And there's different platforms as well.
And that was only 3 days later. There could be more now.
Wow.
How many subscribers do you think MCW has, though?
Do you know the answer to that?
Yes.
On their YouTube channel?
Yeah.
I'm going to guess it's nothing too crazy, because it's not like a massive arena, and you kind of got to be a diehard for something like that. About 250?
1,900.
Okay, oh, it's more than, okay, I seriously undersold them then. But that does show 1,900 yeah. subscribers, but over 5,000 YouTube. Yeah, I think the other thing was, everybody who watched it was like, oh my gosh, this is amazingly put together. Like, this must have taken a long time yeah. to do. Just the emotions of all the people. For me, hearing stories that I didn't know about it, I thought was interesting as well. But yeah, when those big names are coming out as well, you realize what an impact he had on so many people. So I thought that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right, match two.
So, Ryo trying to escape Hades for a minute. Hades does a huge jackhammer. Ryo does an elbow drop off the top rope to Hades, his throat. And Hades wins with a spine buster and a powerbomb setup, but he just ends up slamming him on his stomach.
Now, you missed that one thing. That I only have one line written down here, and I thought you were going to take the whole thing, and you didn't. Elbow drop from the top rope. Hades with the most powerful kick out you'll ever see. Like, he launched him into the air. It was ridiculous. Like, it wasn't even close to being that. Now, I actually got this one wrong. I was kind of, I wouldn't say bored with this match, but I was like, well, it's obvious that Ryo's going to win because that's his tag team partner. They're obviously going to, like, and that didn't happen in the end. So I was like, oh, okay. I kind of like that they didn't go with the most obvious thing for this one. After that, they actually showed some more clips of Bruiser. He was tagging with Jerry Lawler. That was really cool to see for that one. There was also a singles match with Lawler and Jerry Bruiser, so I had no idea that they had any history together either. Then they had some more tributes. I think it's pronounced Crediel was the commentator. Deacon Starr, Gia Scott was a name I recognized. Alice McCleary, Danny Mays, Chris Clow, I think it is. Or it's C-L-O-W, it could be Clow, I don't know. There was Rich and Karen. I'm not sure if they were the owners of MCW. I remember there was a couple together. I'm not even sure if it was those two people. Jason Neidig, Andy Winner, Genesis. Genesis actually came up on one of the Nova Pros I was looking at. Because originally I was like, I don't recognize that name. And then I was looking through for some results and I saw Genesis. So that might be coming up on a future MGB review. Jiffy Pop and Nat Fogotson. And then it went to match three, which was a four corners match. Do you have the people for this one? I think I have them, but...
The Cartel versus Black Wall Street versus the Soldiers of Savory versus Rush Hour.
Soldiers of Savory? Mm-hmm. Do you know what Savory is?
It's like a
taste of food.
Yeah.
And they're soldiers of that? It was savagery. And did you get the other one?
Rush Hour? You probably put
Rash Hour.
No, I put Rush Hour.
It was Rush Hour. If I remember correctly, Rush Hour are the current champions. I recognize Cartel. Because they were there when we were there for your birthday one. Rush Hour I've seen, but I'm not sure.
Savory on the commentary.
They must have been joking then.
No, they didn't. They said it like four times.
It was savage. I'm sure it well. Perhaps no, I'm wrong
it?
Then.
No, it wasn't.
Well, you
it
got me downing myself now. It says I got savagery when I wrote it down.
Savagery.
Savory sounds very unlikely for soldiers.
Or it might have been savory.
But that's not even a word. That would be even worse because that's not even a word.
I don't even know anymore.
All right. I wrote it down originally as SOS. But then I heard them say, or I thought I heard them say, Soldiers of Savagery. So I wrote it down as that. Well, you got me doubting myself now. All right, well, how about we just call them SOS for the rest of this one? All right. Oh, I know there was one other thing at this, because you haven't mentioned it. There was some uncertainty at the start from the commentators. They were like, is this just one fall, or is this like an elimination? So you eliminate one, and then it becomes like a three-way match.
One
and then
fall.
It was just one fall. We found out that towards the end. All right, go ahead.
I have a question for you.
Go on.
Why do they do 10 donks? If somebody dies.
Because it's the 10 count. Like, in the old style wrestling, you don't really see it now. And it took me a while to figure that one out as well. Mainly because you don't really see it now in the current wrestling. But, like, when I used to watch World of Sport, as soon as you hit the ground, the referee would count. One, two. It's like boxing. I know we don't really watch boxing, but if you don't get up off the ground in 10 seconds, that's it. That's the end of the match. So it's that same idea. If you don't make the 10 count, that's it. So, obviously, they're not going to make the 10 count because... But, yeah, you don't really... In WWE, if you go down on the ground, that's it. Nothing happens. They don't count it. Like, if you're outside the ring, even then they don't normally count it. At least I like AEW. As soon as you get out of the ring, they'll count to 20, I think it is. But
MLW does that, I know.
Yes, I think, yeah, I think, yeah, perhaps you're right. Perhaps it's MLW that does that. But yeah, no, it's that acknowledgement that if you don't get up after 10 seconds, that's the end of the match. Like it is in boxing. If you don't get up in 10 seconds, that's it, you're done.
Uh-huh.
So it relates to that. But yeah, you don't see it anymore. So, yeah.
So there was two double flapjacks by the cartel, and the soldiers of Savory take out every one of the cartel, and they take a powerbomb and three splashes from the top rope, and Rush Hour wins with a drop kick, with a double drop kick.
And that was them retaining their championship. So however long their run is, and I mean, like I said from earlier, it's probably kind of a long time, they get to keep that going for a little bit longer.
Oh, this is the match that I probably wasn't supposed to review.
Okay, what do you have for the next one, then?
It was Bruiser versus Gangrel.
That was just a little clip that they showed, but you can talk about that. Tag Wars 2014, this is when he returned to MCW. They mentioned the fact that he had some demons, he'd been out for like 2 years or so, he had some issues with alcohol, which I know we were talking about recently, actually. When that came up, I was you were literally just asking me about that. So, he'd had some issues with that, and they said when he came back, he looked better than when he previously left. All right, what do you got for Gangrel's match, then?
Yeah, we were talking about alcohol because of you were talking about Bruce's autobiography.
Oh, that's why it came up, yeah. Yeah, well, you raised something earlier as before that, but yeah, I did mention that part of it as well.
Bruiser accepts Drolix's open challenge, but Gangrel comes out. Gangrel does a cool bulldog, and I just realized Buff Ref was the ref.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
Oh, I totally missed that. I did not make any note of that at all. I don't even remember thinking that at all.
Drolix comes out, and Bruiser gets distracted, and Gangrel rolls up Bruiser for the win.
And I liked on commentary, they were like, and that's why you need to come out to MCW, because sometimes the matches that aren't announced.
Crazy stuff can happen.
Absolutely. And that's the great thing. I actually like that on the indies, when they don't always announce every single match, and you suddenly have the surprise. Like, for me, still the best one was Flying V.
Orange Cassidy
turns up for the title. Turns up to defend the independent wrestling champ.
Yeah.
Like, on your debut, you would want as many people to come as possible. You would assume that would be on your...
They didn't need it, though.
They didn't. They sold out so quick. But I don't think they would have known that at the start, that they were going to do so well. But yeah, I love surprise. That was why I used to like WWE so much when I started watching it.
The Royal Rumble.
They would never tell you, like, when somebody was coming back. Now you already know. Watch Monday's episode and see The Rock come back. Like, don't tell me that. I just want to see something come on the stage and... Or you hear the music hit.
Because then it gets talked about more.
Actually, the exception to that is when Edge came out at SummerSlam last year. I don't think that they'd announced that. I think some people knew. Probably with it being in Canada, should have pops have been a bit of a clue for that. But when his music dropped, it was like, everyone knew straight away. It was like,
and
massive.
And the Hardys, cheers. Ronda Rousey. There's a couple.
You're right. Oh, gosh. The Hardys at WrestleMania 33. Poof. Yeah, that was my first WrestleMania. I was going crazy, and so were a lot of people for that one. All right, after that, they had some more tributes. I think it's C-Fed and G-Fed. Chuck Lennox, Ryan McBride, Larry Legend. That was the name I was struggling to remember, I think, for the person that does the introductions on The Masked Wrestler. I think that's Larry Legend.
Yeah, and he was on the ICW.
He was, yes. And Ty. I think it's Nui Tufiga. I apologize on that pronunciation. Mickey James, Mason Dixon, Mike Fowler, Rosary Elsa, and Lita was in absolute tears. She was heartbroken. I think she said she'd spoken to him like a few days before, or she was inconsolable.
How does he know all these people, but he's not signed by WWE?
Well, think about it. If you remembered, I don't know if you remember, when we first went to that first event, we got there super early because we wanted autographs and stuff. They have all the posters up on the side there, and we're like, oh my gosh, Hardy Boys, Lita. It was like, all these names we recognized. Obviously if he's 10-time champion, then he would... Now, actually, I did look up some of the matches he'd been in, and you can see that he'd been paired with some of those people in tag matches, so that's how they kind of got to know him. But yeah, really cool. There were some shorter matches. There was Drolix versus Bruiser. They also showed the clip when Bruiser fought Joey Mercury. He won that match, which I remembered somebody beating Joey Mercury, but I didn't remember that it was Bruiser. And became the 10-time champ. And then we had the main event at 2 hours and 27 minutes in. I think it's Dante Caballero. I always get his name mixed up.
Caballero, yeah.
Caballero, isn't that like a pepper or something?
Caballero.
I thought it was Els. I thought it's, and it's probably Caballero, but I don't have a good Spanish accent. All right, anyway, it was Dante versus the champ. Is it Kiko?
Kikoa.
Kikoa. Like, I wrote it partly down, but I don't remember how you say his name, because I wasn't familiar with him. Like, I know he's in the cartel, but I couldn't remember what his name was.
Yeah, the cartel is huge.
Yeah. It's a faction, yeah, absolutely. All right, I don't have anything for this, Mason, so I'm hoping... I thought,
me too.
Oh my gosh.
No, I'm just kidding.
You better have something.
Why did I feel like, is Cattell a word?
Cartel?
Oh, Casey Cattell, that's what... Oh.
You confusing Cattell and cartel?
Yeah.
Cartel's like a group.
I
like
didn't
a...
write the R in cartel, and I was thinking that I recognized Cattell.
I gotcha.
Like but I just couldn't put what it was.
No, cartel's like a group. It's normally associated with drugs. It's a very negative connotation. Obviously, they're heels, so it fits in with that. It's normally associated with crime, so... Yeah, it's a very negative connotation. No, you just missed a letter out, and I think I probably missed a letter out on the... Kikoa,
savagery.
Or however you say it. I wrote K-E-K-O.
And savagery, too?
I don't know about that one. We might have to check the tape for that one. All right, tell us about this match.
Kikoa, the cartel smashed Kikoa into the barricade while Dante distracts the ref. One of the cartel tried to slap Kikoa, but accidentally slaps Dante on accident. Kikoa does a spear and would have won, but the cartel distracts the ref.
Mm-hmm.
The ref ejects the whole cartel. Dante spits sand in Kikoa's face. Oh, he spits something in Kikoa's face.
Sand?
I read sand to spits because I wrote it.
Oh, okay. I'm going to say, it's unlikely you put sand in your mouth.
And Kikoa wins with a frog splash, then a bruiser mission.
Yeah, and actually, and I didn't write this down. I'm not sure why I didn't write it down. At that point, if I remember correctly, I think they actually retired the belt as well. So they had a few fans there. They brought his wife in. They brought his two kids in. And I think they retired the belt at that point. Unless I'm mixing that up with a previous match. Mm. It would make sense that it would be at the end of the show.
So, yeah.
But yeah, his kids came in. They gave him the belt. I'm going to guess they're going to have a new belt. But yeah, it was kind of a touching moment. I think it was nice for his kids to be in the ring. I'm sure those kids also know all those wrestlers as well. Like, you obviously go into those events. They've probably grown up with them. All their life, so yeah, I have a feeling we've seen Dante a couple of times.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah.
We saw him at MCW on the event when it was the first one in Virginia.
Yeah, we saw one where we traveled and Jackson didn't want to chop the person.
Yes, that was the MCW one, because I remember I think it was the Hornswoggle one, Culpepper. It was something like Chaos in Culpepper, I think it was called. And I'm pretty sure we saw him at one in West Virginia when we went as well. I'm trying to remember which one. Is it like EPPW or something? Because I remember seeing him on the side. I was like, is that Dante? Like, I don't know him that well, because I haven't seen him many times. But I'm pretty sure we saw him in one of the West Virginia ones as well. Yeah, that one, I noticed the fans did have to have... I don't know if it's the fan. It's probably close family, I'm guessing, and probably people from MCW. But they certainly had their masks on right for that end a little bit. And yeah, and that part ended fairly quickly. It wasn't any long period of time. After that, the last thing I wrote down was they did show one more classic clip. Bruiser and Genesis versus Team 3D. Like, nice. So yeah, you mentioned all those names. I will say that with MCW, and that's why we did start going to their events, they get big people in there.
Yep.
They get huge names in there.
Jimmy somebody.
Jimmy Snooker?
No,
Jimmy
for
Hart?
The Four Horses. Their manager.
You mean J.J. Dillon?
Yeah, J.J. Dillon.
That's one I kind of regret now not going to. It was very early on when we first went, and they had everybody there from the Four Horsemen.
Oh, they did?
As far as I remember. Ric Flair was definitely there. I remember that. And I remember looking at the price and I was like, yeah, that's a little bit more. Because we were paying $5 and $10 at Nova Pro at that time. And I think it was like $100. And I was like, yeah, I'm not paying that. And then now it's like, oh my gosh.
That's cheap.
For all those people, it was crazy. I know they've had Shawn Michaels there signing as well. Kurt
Mark
Angle.
Henry.
Mark Henry.
Hardee's.
They've had a lot of people there. Yeah, it's unfortunate the Hardee's kind of stopped going when we went because they just signed for WWE. But yeah, hopefully when MCW starts back up again, we might be able to start going to them. I think one of their big problems is, if I remember correctly, is I think they have some of their events on a Friday. And trying to get to, same with EWA Maryland, you just can't get there on a Friday night from where we are because of traffic. It's just too much. And they'll often have two shows at the weekend. They'll have one on Friday, one on Saturday in different parts of Maryland, which is why we... Do you remember the name of that location we went to?
Hollywood.
Yeah, Hollywood. When it came up on the name, as soon as it came up, I was like, I think that's where we went. And then I saw the chandeliers from the roof, and I was like, that's definitely Hollywood, man. Because that was... Do you remember that arena? That was really strange. Yeah. It didn't feel like a wrestling arena at all.
Behind us, there was a bunch of glass, a bunch of windows.
There was, yeah, yeah. There's a lot of memories I have from that one. I know Angelina Love was at that one as well. Yeah. I actually been watching. I saw Angelina Love appear on one of the Impact Wrestlings I've watched recently as well. I remember Bobby Shield signing the autograph for Robbie because Robbie wasn't there.
Becky, the ref.
Becky Lynch?
No, the ref.
Becky the ref.
When she did a stunner to...
Joey.
Yeah, Joey.
Yep, she interfered in that match as well. No, it was that was a really cool event. So, yeah, I think that's something we'll be looking to do again when we can. But, all right, anything else from this event? Because I don't actually know if you watched anything.
If you want to go see it, just type in Bruiser Strong on YouTube. It's about 3 hours.
There you go, yeah.
It's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from them.
Goodbye! Goodbye.
Music was Zigzag by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. https://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0/